A company like Amazon may never leave Seattle, but they're going to go and expand their offices to places where their people want to work and live for the reasons I just described: health, well-being, quality of life, and balance.
This is Can Do, a podcast that explores the business lessons essential for success in these volatile times. Can Do shares the insight of industry experts, along with the experiences and advice of local businessmen and businesswomen. Whether you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, or your career is affected by the current economic climate, these lessons will give you the guidance you need to make informed decisions about your future. I'm your host, Arnie Sherman. The COVID-19 pandemic and associated economic recession are casting different-sized shadows across the United States. In Montana, unemployment has been high, but never above the national average. And as of early October 2020, the COVID infection rate is increasing, but remains comparatively low. One surprising effect of COVID has been growing domestic migration to the state, in particular to Missoula and Bozeman. Both cities have seen growth in the demand for residential properties, with the latest monthly price increase averaging over 20%. And while some commercial projects have been canceled or put on hold, other multi-million dollar developments are moving forward. Joining us to discuss these issues are Andy Holleran, owner and founder of Homebase Partners. Since 2013, Homebase Partners has developed 10 hospitality, residential, and mixed-use and land projects in Montana and two in Missouri. This includes a $23 million hotel development in downtown Missoula slated to open in spring 2021. And Diane Beck, president of the Montana Association of Realtors. Diane is a native Montanan with 30 years of experience in the Missoula real estate market. Diane also manages her own radio show and podcast, Missoula Real Estate Today. Why are Western and Southwest Montana's real estate economies so strong? Is that true in other parts of the state? Is the boom benefiting Montanans or people from out of state? Listen and learn to find out more on today's episode of Can Do. Support for this episode of Can Do is provided by the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives. Additional support comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, a regional law firm with national expertise, representing the interests of Montana entrepreneurs and businesses. More information at ParsonsBailey.com. Welcome, Andy and Diane. Andy Holleran is joining us today from Bozeman, Montana, and Diane Beck from Missoula, Montana. I want to start with the big picture. How has the COVID-19 pandemic and the associated economic disruption affected the Montana real estate market? Andy?
Having developed and owning property in both Bozeman and Missoula, we've seen a dramatic disruption, both positive and negative, over the course of the year. Certainly as this crisis hit back in February and March, there was a lot of uncertainty, and for good reason. In our hospitality, as an example, our hospitality projects really took a tremendous drop in occupancy. You know, we went from occupancy rates in the 80, 90% range, literally down to 10 to 20% for the month of March and April. We saw a lot of our commercial tenants really shutter their doors. And it was a scary time back in the spring. You know, we're still working through a lot of what this crisis means to businesses, to people, to travelers, to really the whole real estate industry. And it's been quite a year.
Had anybody that you work with, any of your tenants, had in their business plan a pandemic might affect their economic vitality?
You know, I think no. I think that this pandemic was so far reaching. I imagine just about every business has been impacted. And certainly, even though Montana, I believe, and we'll get to this later, has come out of this or is performing better than most parts of the country, it's still traumatic and impactful.
Diane, what's been the Montana take on all of this? You represent the Montana Realty Association. What's the feedback that you've gotten from around the state?
Thanks, Arnie. You know, it's been really pretty interesting to hear what's going on across the state. You know, basically our lives have changed drastically, some for the good, some for not so good. But the market, the real estate market is remaining strong. The bigger differences are what we're seeing in out-of-state travelers and out-of-state buyers. And we'll get more into that in a little bit. I think that we really have focused on safety and health of our members. We've canceled countless conferences for our members. We're running at about 5,200 realtor members across the state right now. The National Association of Realtors and us collectively went into fast gear and adjusted as quickly as we could, given, you know, the conditions that we had. And we've just done a lot of stuff for our members, for the public, for our buyers, for our sellers. And we just have a whole list of things that we do now that is maybe part of the new norm.
So for our listeners, Andy, tell us a little about what Homebase Partners is involved in Montana.
You bet. So we started Homebase Partners about 7 years ago. Our business plan really focuses on both downtown Bozeman and downtown Missoula. We believe that people are gravitating towards walkable urban settings, even in Montana, whether they want to live or work or play. Both Bozeman and Missoula downtowns offer such a vibrant, diverse sense of commerce and amenities. So that's been our focus for a number of different project types, including hospitality, residential for sale, for lease, office, and what have you. And as Diane mentioned earlier, we are seeing such a tremendous influx of people moving from out of state that we believe that business strategy will continue. And we're also now at the beginning stages of seeing companies looking to relocate to places like Bozeman and Missoula that offer a great university, great medical network, a quality of life, health, well-being, air access. We've studied a lot of work that a partner of ours called Gensler, which is an architecture firm, has adopted, which is this hub and spoke mentality. And we use the example that a company like Amazon may never leave Seattle, but they're going to go and expand their offices to places where their people want to work and live for the reasons I just described: health, well-being, quality of life, and balance. So we're very bullish on the state of Montana. We're very bullish on both the communities of Bozeman and Missoula, not only short-term, but certainly long-term.
Diane, does that reflect your experience on the residential buyer side?
Yeah, it sure does, Arnie. I think it's really interesting, everything that Andy just mentioned. We're hearing directly from the mouths of buyers coming in, and they're coming from all over. I mean, we're primarily West Coast, but we've transferred in some families from the Midwest also. The lifestyle, the quality of life, hearing I can work from anywhere. I'm proving that right now. We hear that a lot. So yeah, it's very true. And it is the amenities that both of our cities, Bozeman and Missoula, project. We have year-round activities. We've got all the recreation. All of those are the things that people are looking for in a quality of life and a new home setting, whether they're retiring or whether they're still raising kids. We've relocated a couple families from Washington, D.C. this last year. So it's pretty interesting. I think times have changed. I've said this to so many people recently. It's like people were moving to Montana long before COVID. It's not anything new, but there's definitely been an uptick in the last 6 months and a lot more inquiries. So we're holding on for what the future will hold.
That's an important point, what the future will hold. I mean, this Zoom economy that we're seeing has created what I would call a laxity by employers saying, you know, we're going to shut our office down. You can work from home and you can work from home anywhere. So there are people that are moving around. Is that going to be permanent, do you think? Or is there going to be a return to the old way of doing things? What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, that's a great question, Arnie. And I think one that a lot of us ponder. Our feeling is that the return to the the pre-pandemic office setting will not happen. We saw density within the office environment continually to increase in terms of the number of people and employees per square foot in an office setting. You know, that co-working, everybody has a small desk. We are seeing a gravitation towards more hospitality environments where it's certain touch points. You might go in for a team meeting. You might go in to entertain a client. But to go in 5 days a week, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, we don't see that happening for much of the workforce, which to Diane's point, really puts places like Bozeman and Missoula at the top of a list for people to relocate. And you're an hour and a half flight to Seattle, you're an hour and a half flight to Portland. But with technology today, we think it's so dynamic. So to answer your question, we think the office environment is going to change. We think residential will continue to increase in popularity in places like Missoula and Montana. You know, as we talked earlier in our discussion, we're seeing a dramatic shift in a lot of the industries. I happen to believe that Montana, and in particular Bozeman and Missoula, we are going to be the benefactor of this issue.
Diane?
I concur with Andy and everything he said. You know, we don't know what this fallout is going to look like at the end of the day, but I think that the recovery and going back to normal is not going to necessarily happen fast. I'm in a real estate office of 50 people, and here it is, you know, middle of the day, and there's maybe three people in this office that's 5,000 square feet. So I think people have adjusted to a new lifestyle. We still have families that are homeschooling or doing online schooling from their homes. I learned to work from home a long time ago because I like to travel and do fun things. So I learned to work from wherever I was a long time ago, but it's really been an adjustment for a lot of folks. And I don't think we're going to necessarily go back. My biggest concern is the amount of commercial real estate that will become for sale or for lease based on downsizing of corporations, of large businesses. Times have changed. And I agree, Missoula and Bozeman are going to be, and Montana as a whole, benefactors, because it's a great place. And we can't change that dynamic, and we can't stop people from coming. We just better sit back and hold on and see what happens.
Andy, what's your take on the commercial sector of all this?
You know, I think as Diane pointed out earlier, and we're saying the same thing, the residential side, both for sale and for lease, has been extremely vibrant over the last few months. We are just now starting to see companies that are primarily in the West Coast, whether it's Seattle, Portland, who are making inquiries about places like Bozeman and Missoula. You know, we don't have, neither community has a deep Class A office building inventory. And so it may be more build to suit, but we're starting to see companies make those inquiries. So I could see that places like San Francisco or Silicon Valley, I could see this hub and spoke mentality become reality, where they may want to relocate to places that their employees want to live. And it's part of this, the ability to attract and retain talent. So who wouldn't want to live in Missoula and work for, you know, Salesforce instead of in the heart of San Francisco paying an incredible amount of rent, no lifestyle, no amenities. So we're cautiously optimistic about the commercial aspect here.
Well, we're getting a film studio in Missoula. That would have been unthinkable, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Diane.
Yes.
You say it's a tremendous, you know, benefit to Montana and Missoula, Bozeman. Other places are seeing uptick. There's not much property available around Flathead Lake, for example. You've been here for 30 years. 30 years ago, people were rumbling and complaining about the Californification of Montana. And while you can't stop people from coming in, there is an extra large influx at this particular time. How does that clash with issues like affordable housing and people who are, you know, essential workers who aren't making big salaries, and teachers dealing with people who are used to paying multi-million dollars for homes and think the Missoula and Bozeman real estate market are cheap, even if they're rising at 20% a month?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think that it's a balance. I think that it's interesting because there's multiple buyers on million-dollar homes over here. We're seeing a lot of really crazy things happening. You know, how do you balance it? I mean, again, we can't stop people from coming. I'm not one to go out and put a lot on Facebook about why everybody should move to Montana, because I'd get slammed pretty hard by all the locals, but it's just a factor of what we're dealing with right now. And most of the folks I work with are so respectful of the traditions of Missoula. They don't want to be 30 miles outside of the city. They want to be able to go downtown and enjoy a dinner and be able to get home safely. And there's no clear answer, but it's just a balance.
Andy, how does what's happening in Montana compared to what's going on in Missouri? You have a couple of projects in Missouri. Is this reflective of this or is it different?
It's very different. Kind of dovetailing what Diane just alluded to, we are really fortunate in that we have tremendous open space. We have incredible outdoor amenities. We have great people. We have two really strong universities in both Missoula and Bozeman. And those are qualities of life that individuals and empty nesters alike are looking for. And given the ability to essentially work from anywhere, we're seeing places like St. Louis, San Francisco, like New York, people are fleeing. And if they can, they are. It's a very dynamic shift, I think, in our overall country's demographic. And it's going to be fascinating to watch.
I want to get back to the issue of affordable housing for a minute. One of the consequences, intentional consequences of bringing in moneyed people into the state are things like Yellowstone Club and Spanish Peaks and Moonlight Basin, the Stock Farm, you know, gated communities at a very high end springing up around the state. What do we do about folks that are average working people? How can they take advantage of the benefit that this is providing out-of-staters? Diane, what do you think?
You know, it's really interesting, Arnie, because I have watched Missoula, and I'm sure Bozeman too, but and around the state, we have been building apartment complexes like they're going out of style, and they're on every corner, they're in every possible nook and cranny of Missoula, and you would think that at some point the rental prices would go down. Well, they're not. An average price in Missoula right now is getting close to $350,000 for a home. And the service workers, the bar servers, the restaurant people, the hotel staff, they can't afford that. So they are renting. And we've been talking about affordable housing over here for as long as I've been in real estate, and it's just not changed. And there's no such thing as affordable housing, in my opinion, in Missoula or Bozeman for that matter. I mean, you look at a condo for $225,000 should be about $100,000, and it's just nuts. So it's a conversation we need to have as a state and each community individually, but we've been having it and it's not changing at this point in time.
Andy, what's Bozeman like?
It's a challenge. And I would say as a community, affordable housing is at the forefront of issues that we need to address. I think first and foremost, there's a shortage of housing, period. Our latest statistics in August showed that we have basically a one-month supply of housing in Bozeman. The average single-family home increased 22% from a year earlier, and it's now almost $600,000, the median home price. So to your point, Arnie, you know, what does that do for a lot of our essential workers? I think first we need more housing options, whether it's a state mandate or community by community, we really need to get together and address this because it's a challenge.
We are speaking with Andy Holleran, owner and founder of Homebased Partners, and Diane Beck, president of the Montana Association of Realtors. Support for this episode of CanDo is provided by Montana Rail Links, committed to safely delivering transportation solutions to their customers. Additional support comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, a regional law firm with national expertise representing the interests of Montana entrepreneurs and businesses. More information at ParsonsBailey.com. I want to take a look at the housing situation from a slightly different angle at the moment, more COVID-19 related. Andy, you have a number of tenants in your developments. What happened to them? Tell me a story. Give me some insight in what happened when COVID-19 hit. Your occupancy rate in your hospitality facilities dropped to 10%. I'm assuming people had trouble making rent. They were shut down. What was the pandemonium like around that?
Well, it was scary. As we've talked earlier, you know, every business has been impacted by this. For the Mercantile in downtown Missoula, which is anchored by a Residence Inn by Marriott, we were enjoying tremendous occupancy and revenue. The month of April, we went to 11% occupied. And we were very fortunate in a partnership with Stockman Bank, who immediately came out and deferred interest payments for a number of months. And that allowed us in turn to do the same for our tenants. We have 9 commercial tenants within the Mercantile. All of them closed their doors for a couple of months. And it was really, many of these are startups, local families, and it was really frightening and scary to see. I'm thrilled that now they're all open and the majority of them are doing really well. And it's so fascinating to see how people have adapted to the new reality. Restaurants are creating amazing curbside pickup options and to-go options, which has allowed them to keep people working and to keep their business open. Our retailers are getting really creative with their offering and their advertising. So it's been great to see. Montana has really, as we've talked earlier, is benefiting from this migration of where people are moving to and where they're visiting. In August and September, the hotel was over 90% average occupancy. So we're seeing that resurgence of people coming back out, traveling, spending money, and frequenting our businesses, which is awesome.
Diane, as you look at the whole state, because you represent, what, over 5,000 realtors through the association, what about the parts of Montana that aren't experiencing the benefits of the COVID flight? What about places like Great Falls or Butte, Helena, those sorts of places?
We've been getting word from the markets around the state, the major markets, the Butte, the Great Falls, the Helena, Billings, Bozeman, Missoula, Kalispell, that things are moving right along, very similar to that, what we're seeing over in our community in Missoula. I love the entrepreneurism that we're seeing with local businesses and all of that. And real estate agents, we are known to be resilient and we kind of go with the flow, and sometimes we have to shift what we're doing. It's just part of who we are naturally. And so, I mean, when COVID hit us, we're out, you know, we've got listings. We have to sell these homes for people who are already made plans to relocate. And the governor, I mean, when the mandates came out and we lobbied Governor Bullock and we were able to get him to see us as a necessary service so we could keep doing what we were doing. We just shifted what we were doing. We did a lot of virtual online Zoom showings. People were buying houses sight unseen. But knowing that we were all very cognizant of following the protocols, the masks, the sanitization, the National Association of Realtors and the State Association put out immediately memos on guidelines to follow. And so I feel like our industry rose to the occasion. The rest of the state, the smaller communities, I'm hearing things are going really pretty good. Some of the harder hit ones, maybe up in the northeastern part of the state, because the oil boom has not been producing that much oil. So they've definitely seen some issues up in those neighborhoods and those areas. But, you know, as a whole, real estate is strong in Montana.
You mentioned that the governor made real estate an essential industry so that you could receive benefit. Andy, how has municipalities in general accommodated the industry to keep things going?
Well, I do have to applaud Governor Bullock on how he addressed this. I think he was right and swift in mandating stay-at-home directives. And I think that really tempered the spread. And I think it's a testament to the people of Montana that we recognize that wearing masks, distancing are smart things to do. So I think all that's played well. I think the timing of reopening and the process was methodical and well thought out. Dovetailing what Diane mentioned, you know, construction was deemed an essential business, which in our state is such an important industry. And it affects so many, whether it's material suppliers or craftsmen or workers on site. It allowed a significant part of our workforce to continue working.
Did your ventures in general take advantage of PPE money and other money that was coming out of the federal relief effort during the early time of COVID?
We did. The Mercantile Project, we were successful in getting a PPP loan. That really helped. We were able to keep people that otherwise would have been furloughed or laid off employed. And it was a benefit to that project.
And did your tenants also take avail themselves of it?
They all did. They all did. So in that crucial time, you know, you look back and it seems like forever ago, but you know, April and May and June were pretty, it was pretty gloomy. Together, we came out of this.
Was that your experience too, Diane?
Absolutely. It's definitely, it's been a challenge and a trying time for a lot of people. And I don't know specifically in the real estate industry how many partners took advantage of any of the government subsidies or programs. But I'll tell you what, things were coming at us really fast. And I think people in general stepped to the occasion when they needed to. And I feel like, you know, I say this all the time. I'm like, we're doing things we should have been doing a long time ago, like washing our hands and, you know, being very careful when you're around people. And, you know, it's pretty interesting that it took something like this to really shake things up. But at the end of the day, I think as Montanans, we're all stronger and smarter. I wish I had a crystal ball. I don't. But I'd like to see fast forward to a year from now. And I think things are going to be a lot better. But we've maintained a lot of strength through this.
You know, Diane, I like what you said. It's about, it may be part of the new norm. I know in the hospitality business, hand sanitizers, air filtering in all the rooms, you know, we've added more housekeepers to do more diligent disinfected and cleaning of rooms and facilities. We should have been doing that all along, right? And so it took something like this to realize what an important value that is for people, is to work and live and stay in a very clean, healthy environment.
Andy, you're building a new hotel in downtown Missoula, the AC. It's supposed to be ready in spring 2021. I hear from a number of people that the cost of building materials and trying to find construction trade professionals is getting very difficult. What's your experience with that?
The cost of construction and manpower has been a challenge since we started Homebase Partners. And it seems every year it gets more and more difficult. We don't have a deep workforce that some major markets have. And that, unfortunately, is resulting in an upward pressure on costs. And so that's impacting housing, it's impacting commercial projects. But that is a tremendous challenge. And, you know, the margins just keep getting smaller and smaller. And so we're going to see what happens in the next year or two, but it's an issue.
Diane, you're approached by a residential client who wants to build. What are you saying to them now in Missoula, for example?
Actually, I just closed on one this week. We were delayed probably 30 days just because of materials and labor. So we were able to put them up in a local hotel for 30 days because they became homeless. And so when I'm talking to people about new construction, first and foremost, we talk about, you know, if they say 6 months, it's probably going to be 7 or 8, and the costs are going to be a lot different. You know, we try to dial in the costs of a new house ahead of time, but it's been interesting to hear the products that our builders cannot get, like garage doors. That was a delay in this last one. And You know, the things that we take for granted and that we've taken for granted all these last few years, it's the things that we think we can get easily, we can't get them. But the bigger issue, Arnie, is, and I'm sure Andy will agree, is the trades. We need laborers. We need contractors, electricians, plumbers. They're not out there. And so for every one, we could use about three more. So that's one big call out to Montana that we need to really work in the trades.
Have the community colleges, Missoula College and others, met with the industry and are trying to meet those needs?
You know, Arnie, I've been part of several task forces over the years with the Chamber of Commerce here locally, and we need to have the conversation at the state level. We haven't really done that yet, but we have at the local level, and the Missoula College is definitely working in that arena and trying to meet those needs. But we've got to get into the high schools and the grade schools and start talking to kids early about what they want to be when they grow up. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they want to go to college. They might make a better mechanic or a better plumber than they would an attorney or, you know, a marketing student.
Andy, as costs go up and margins get narrower, do you adapt your business model or do you just raise prices? Do you value engineer or you just add it on and it's a cost of doing business?
Yeah, it's, you know, we always go try and go through a value engineering process as we're in design. But at the end of the day, whether it's a hotel guest or a buyer of a home or a condominium or somebody looking to rent, they demand quality. And so fortunately, we have been able to increase prices both on the for sale and the for lease side that has allowed us to keep up with rising costs. But that can't last forever. But we are seeing such an influx of people from out of state. I'll give you an example. We have a project in downtown Bozeman, the 111 Lofts, and it's right in the heart of downtown, 55 luxury apartments. We won't open for a couple more weeks, but we have 19 leases signed. Every person is from out of state, and they're paying prices that are higher than we've experienced in Bozeman ever, but they seem to think it's reasonable. And so it's going to be interesting.
Are those 19 people working remotely or have they been hired locally and local businesses, or is it a mix?
It's both. It's both people who have the ability to work from anywhere, and it's people who are looking to relocate and have their place of business in Bozeman or Missoula.
Last question for both of you, for our listeners. What's the one piece of advice as they're looking at the whole real estate environment in Montana, either a buyer or a seller or somebody who wants to develop a project? What's the one piece of advice that either of you or both of you would give to them? I'll start with you, Andy.
You know, certainly the old adage that location, 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 I think still resonates. And I think what we like about Missoula and we like about Bozeman is a high barrier to entry, the emphasis towards walkable, more urban infill opportunities. But I think, you know, the advice is be conservative, surround yourself with great people, whether they're your lending partners or your investment partners. At the end of the day, it's a people business. And so location and surrounding yourself with good people is key.
Diane?
You know, my advice is sell now if you have a place to go. But if you're looking for a house in the market, you might want to hold on a little bit unless you have somewhere temporary to go. Buyers, I'm telling them to be conservative and not go crazy when we hear there's 8 offers on a house and not paying way over market for something, because I think that's how people get themselves into trouble, and I think they'd regret it in the end. So just being cautiously optimistic about the real estate market and making business choices and not trying to put the personal side to it. So that's the best advice I give people all the time.
Diane, Andy, great talking to you, sharing advice and your insights with our listeners, and I look forward to a good year for all of us here in Montana.
Thanks so much, everybody. It was fun.
Thank you, Arnie. Thanks, Dan.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do, produced by Peter Hoag and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guests' contact information and content from all our shows. Listen next time when we will be visiting with Maureen Lonergan, Director of Global Training and Certification at Amazon Web Services. I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you good health and prosperity.